In the name of God, who calls the universe into being and who is closer than our next breath. Amen. This weekend, I took my son, Luca, who is 4 years old, to the Natural History Museum. He's four, and dinosaurs are a big thing in our house right now. So we started by going to see the fossils. Now, when you go to the Bell Museum, you can stand 6 inches away from the fossils of trilobites, ancient sea creatures that lived hundreds of millions of years ago. You can stand next to their fossilized remains. It turns out that hundreds of millions of years ago, the land that we now call Minnesota was under a vast sea. Now, I can barely imagine hundreds of millions of years ago, but when you go to the museum, you can stand 6 inches away from their fossilized remains. It's completely astonishing to think about. One blip in time meets another blip in time. Prehistoric carbon-based life forms revealing themselves to us now in the dust. Then we went to see a show in the planetarium. The stars swirled around us. I managed not to get sick. And we got to see an amazing view of the Milky Way galaxy. It was Luca's first time really experiencing the incomprehensible vastness of space. And I'm older than he is, and I've been to a few more planetarium shows and seen a few more fossils, but I'm not sure that my experience is that different from his. The experience of not being able to wrap my mind around how big the universe is, how big time is, and how small we are. He hasn't yet learned that the atoms of carbon that make up the cells of our bodies are the same things as the atoms of carbon in the dust on that altar, the same things that make up those distant stars. Our bodies are made of stardust. Today, Ash Wednesday is the doorway into the season of Lent. Today, by long tradition, we smudge ashes on our foreheads, and we hear the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Remember that you will die. The body that is you will be deposited in the ground, just like those trilobites. One day, maybe, hundreds of millions of years from now, the carbon-based life form that is you will reveal itself as a fossil to the elements of whatever this planet has become. Ash Wednesday invites us to this cosmic perspective on time. There was a time when this flesh was stardust. That time will come again. The time when this flesh is living and breathing is impossibly small in comparison. Ash Wednesday invites us to that smallness, temporality, humility. In a world obsessed with acquiring and image and reputation, the kinds of treasures that we store up on Earth, Ash Wednesday invites us to mark our bodies with a sign of death and decay. The remains of all we strive for gone up in smoke, smoke that may one day travel to the furthest reaches of the galaxy. You probably know this already. Perhaps that's why you come to Ash Wednesday liturgy, Humans have long found ways to meditate on death to spur themselves to meaning in their lives. And this liturgy is one of the ways we in the Christian tradition practice that meditation on death. But there is a catch in the liturgy tonight. There's something we should not miss. The text we just heard make it clear that the liturgy we've all come here to create together is an exercise in irony. Just now, we listened to scriptures that indict the performance of religion for the sake of the visual, the image, the reputation. We heard the prophet Isaiah calling his people, his whole country, to task for their desire to use God as a stamp of approval for their accumulation of wealth at the expense of the poor, rather than letting God be their pathway, their way of life, that turns them back toward their neighbors. And then we heard Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew speaking to our individual practice as people of faith. Don't do what the hypocrites do, he says. Don't pray or give because you want people to see you and praise you. Don't make a big show of fasting. Jesus says, no. Do your charity and your prayer and your fasting in secret. In other words, your practice of faith isn't supposed to be an identity marker of your place in acceptable society. God isn't interested in serving as a bolster for my personal brand or for my ego. What we heard from Isaiah and from Jesus is that God desires to break down our egos and turn us toward our neighbors. We come to this liturgy, we hear those texts, and then we go and do the exact thing that Jesus says not to do. In just a few minutes, we will put our faith on display by putting ashes on our foreheads, and we will walk out of this building looking dismal with disfigured faces, the exact thing that Jesus indicts the hypocrites for doing. We're trying to make a right beginning of repentance in this season of Lent, and the first thing that the liturgy asks us to do is to screw it up. It's a pretty good joke, right? It's a pretty good joke on us. We're going to fail before we even get out of the door. And my friends, I think that's good news. I think it's good news. I think it's good news in a couple of ways. It's good news for all of us who have been formed at any level in puritanical perfectionism. Maybe that wasn't the religion of the household where you grew up. Maybe it wasn't the church or the house of worship that you were formed in, but the air in this country is filled with it, whether we want to teach it or not. And if that's you, if you have some inner scripting in the experience of religion as obsession with personal holiness and purity, then this liturgy reminds you it's too late. That path isn't gonna work. And God's grace meets us here at the altar before we've left the building too, in the form of bread and wine. God's grace that comes to us not because we are good, but because God is loving. There's a quote from W.H. Auden that goes, "You shall love your crooked neighbor with your crooked heart." When we meet God in the bread and wine, we hear the invitation to turn back to loving our neighbor, even though we've already screwed up. That is why when we make promises at baptism, we say, "I will, with God's help." It's the continual practice of falling down and getting back up again with God and with each other. I think it's good news in another way, too, that we have this liturgy strangely asking us to do the very thing Jesus tells us not to do. It's good news for all of us who long to build the kingdom of God. We long for justice to roll down like water, as the prophet says, for the lion to lay down with the lamb. We have striven for God's vision of beloved community, and yet we are not there. Particularly at this moment in our country, there are some of us who are standing on the edge of despair, maybe who have been standing there for a long, long time. If that is you, the good news in this liturgy is that we are not God's righteous ones sent to save the rest of the world. We get to join, with God's help, in God's vision of redemption, where the lion lays down with the lamb. But we are in need of grace and healing, too. The builder of the kingdom is God, not us. We are free to be small enough to receive it. This season of Lent calls us into the wilderness with Jesus. And friends, we know where this story is going. It's not going to the cross. It is going through the cross, all the way to Easter, all the way to the good news of resurrection. Like everything else we do, the story of Lent points us to God's bigger story of death being defeated by love in the resurrection. And that's the mystery we proclaim today and every day. Love triumphs over death. Somehow, the incomprehensibly vast universe, made up of atoms just like this stardust, is telling a story about love. So we are free to embrace, just like this microphone. So we are free to embrace the indignities and the limitations of being mortal for a blip in time, because there is a promise that death is not the end. That's the mystery. That may be why adults who appear to be functional, may even be successful by the standards of this world, show up once a year to be reminded that we are made of dust, and to dust we shall return. The good news is that we are set free to be creatures, to be human, set free to know that all of these bodies will return to dust one day. Set free, in fact, to give and receive the love of neighbor that proclaims the greatest mystery, that God is love. Amen.